Hidden beneath the surface. Welcome to this audio issue of Tech Frontiers, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com, Europe's most important small-cap maritime defense company. In 1964, German naval engineer Ulrich Gabler published a book called Untersee Bootsbau, Submarine Construction. For most readers, the title alone would have been enough to induce deep slumber. But Gabler was not writing for suspense lovers, airport bookstores, or the bestseller list. Instead, his audience was a tiny universe of naval architects and submarine engineers who cared deeply about matters most of us will never think about: hull geometry, drag, acoustic signature, periscope depth, ballast systems, pressure envelopes, and the strange physics of operating machines in the least forgiving environment on Earth. To the people who mattered in his field, Gabler's work was not obscure but foundational. The U.S. Navy seized on the book and had it translated and distributed to American defense engineers in the 1970s. 4 decades later, in the 2000s, an updated English-language edition of the original, retitled Submarine Design, ensured that Gabler's work remained relevant. Today, MIT's Naval Engineering Program, one of the best in the world, still places Gabler's work in its core curriculum, classifying it as one of three foundational submarine design traditions: one American, Jackson; one British, Bircher; and one German, Gabler. Ulrich Gabler didn't approach submarine design as an ivory tower academic, but instead as a practitioner. Early in his career, during World War II, Gabler served as chief engineer of Germany's storied U-boat submarine corps, immortalized in the 1981 classic film Das Boot. After the war, Gabler founded Ingenieur Kontur Lübeck, IKL, an engineering firm that dominated German submarine design in the 1950s, and whose submarine design DNA still constitutes the heart of the ThyssenKrupp Marine Systems, TKMS, subs deployed by the navies of Germany, Israel, Norway, and Singapore. Our recommendation this month traces directly back to that impressive lineage: Gabler Group AG, XK4GR, which IPO'd on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange in early March, is not a household name in its native country, much less here in the US. It does not make flashy defense products that appear in dramatic footage on cable news, such as stealth fighter jets, missile interceptors, or battleships. Even among institutional investors who follow leading European defense companies, Gabler is still, if you'll forgive the turn of phrase to describe a company focused on subsea warfare, hidden below the surface. That obscurity is our opportunity. Let me explain. Gabler is a maritime defense mini-prime, a small, highly specialized supplier of mission-critical systems for submarines and the broader subsea domain. Its historical crown jewel is hoistable mast systems, the periscopes, communications masts, snorkels, and sensor-carrying systems that allow a submarine to see, communicate, breathe, and gather intelligence while remaining hidden beneath the ocean's surface. Over more than 6 decades, Gabler has installed nearly 1,000 masts on roughly 185 submarines across more than 25 sovereign navies. The company is the leading European supplier of submarine mast systems, and one of the two largest global suppliers by volume. This business sounds like a niche, and it is, but some niches are mediocre because they are small, competitive, and characterized by low barriers to entry. Others are extraordinary because they're mission-critical, monopolistic, and almost impossible for newcomers to penetrate. Gabler Group's niche belongs emphatically in the second category. The company sits in a part of the defense supply chain where failure is unacceptable. Switching costs are budget-breaking, trust is built over decades, and the installed base creates long-duration aftermarket revenue for 30 to 40 years after the initial sale. Even better, Gabler has expanded its business beyond its crown jewel mast systems. Through a series of strategic acquisitions, Gabler has assembled the key pieces of a broader technology stack for the underwater domain. It has purchased Divilogic, a leader in underwater communications subsea tech, a major player in subsea power, and a minority stake in maritime big data leader North.io, which is building the Google Maps of the oceans. The company's business now spans submarine systems, the emerging category of autonomous subsea vessels, underwater communications, maritime data, subsea sensors, and underwater energy storage. In plain English, Gabler is building the systems that allow manned and unmanned underwater platforms to sense, communicate, analyze, navigate, and power themselves beneath the ocean. This matters because the oceans, alongside space, are already proving themselves to be one of the most important arenas of strategic competition in the 21st century. In this month's issue, we are doing two things. First, we are recommending Gabler Group AG. Second, and in parallel, We are introducing an investment framework we'll use in Tech Frontiers for recommendations outside biotechnology. As longtime subscribers know, we rely on a 7-part framework to guide our underwriting of life sciences investments. That framework, which we originally introduced in the Biotech Frontiers Investment Guidebook, the very first thing we published, in January 2024, has served us exceptionally well. While it hasn't guaranteed success, it has helped keep us focused on the right questions. It's been my intention to introduce a similar framework for our recommendations outside life sciences, and we formally do that this month. Naturally, the framework differs a bit from our biotech framework because the relevant questions differ. The factors that drive success and failure in biotech are not the same as those that drive outcomes in other domains of technology. Biotech is very specialized. Nonetheless, I think laying out and applying a disciplined investment framework for the rest of tech will prove similarly helpful for our underwriting. Our new Tech Frontiers framework has 7 parts: the big picture backdrop, the business, the competitive landscape, valuation considerations, variant perception, the people, the risk/reward. To be clear, this framework isn't a formula, but instead a guide to asking the right questions. Furthermore, each of the 7 pieces won't always be equally relevant or relevant in every opportunity we evaluate. As regular readers know, we've sometimes shrunk our 7-part framework for biotech to a shorter list when that's enabled a sharper view of a particular investment thesis. We'll approach our broader tech investments with similar flexibility. But with Gabler Group, all 7 factors are relevant, and they all point in the same direction, toward a gem of a company hiding in plain sight, with global leadership in a domain that will only grow in both importance and value. Let's begin. 1. The big picture backdrop, an update on the Iran war. Over the past month, the US and Iran entered a ceasefire, and markets have since gone up in a steep straight line, with the S&P 500, for instance, up over 12% since its bottom on March 30th, and now at an all-time high. Many readers may naturally wonder, does the market's behavior mean the analysis we presented last month was wrong? And have I rethought the caution I expressed? The answers are no and no. Let's begin with economics. While the ceasefire has stopped additional kinetic destruction of energy infrastructure in the Middle East, it has not restored vessel flows through the Strait of Hormuz. Indeed, as the U.S. Navy has now belatedly imposed a blockade on Iranian-allied vessels seeking to transit the strait, notably, the Shadow Fleet tankers delivering Iranian crude to China, the chokehold on the movement of oil, liquefied natural gas, LNG, nitrogen fertilizers, sulfur, and helium across the strait has gotten more severe, not better. Our Persian Gulf allies that rely on these flows to fund their economies continue to be strangled, which is why the UAE recently asked the US Federal Reserve for a substantial dollar swap line. Meanwhile, the blockage of flows through the strait is also wreaking havoc in the economies of American allies such as Japan, South Korea, India, and NATO members in Europe, all of whom are massive energy importers. Last week, Germany's flagship airline Lufthansa announced that it will be canceling 20,000 flights this summer and shutting down its short-haul subsidiary CityLine due to the skyrocketing cost of jet fuel. But mass flight cancellations are just the beginning. Industrial supply chains across Asia and Europe are already seizing up because of the ongoing Hormuz crisis. What then to make of the violent rally in US stocks? Though I could be mistaken, I see it as a classic bear market rally of the kind we witnessed after Bear Stearns failed in 2008. The collapse of that storied investment bank in March of that year was, of course, an early canary in the coal mine for the global financial crisis. Notably, the S&P 500 rallied over 15% in the 2 months after Bear's failure. The market didn't tip over into steep decline until September 2008, more than 6 months after Bear's fire sale rescue by J.P. Morgan Chase, JPM, when the subsequent implosion of another leading investment bank, Lehman Brothers, crystallized a broader reaction to what was unfolding in the financial system. To be clear, I am not predicting that the Iran war will catapult us into a replay of the 2008 financial crisis. They are very different events. However, I am observing that markets often have a delayed reaction to seismic shifts in the economic world, and that violent rallies in stocks are actually a confirmatory characteristic of unfolding bear markets, not necessarily an indicator of economic good health. Which brings me to the most important message I sought to convey last month, about asset allocation. The reason to raise cash in your portfolio in this environment is not due to fear that the world is ending. Instead, it's to position yourself to play offense. The world's best investors don't dread bear markets, they welcome them. They know that bear markets are the seasons when the world's most attractive businesses go steeply on sale, and when investors with liquidity can make life-changing gains. But you can only profit handsomely from a bear market if you've got enough cash to deploy into it. My advice last month, and again this month, is about making sure that you do. The big picture backdrop and Gabler Group. In our investment guidebook, I wrote about taking advantage of tsunamis, the proverbial 100-foot waves that change everything. Subsequently, I have described three tsunamis unfolding today: the proliferation of AI, a new form of tech-based intelligence transforming how we work the blockchain, a new form of money transforming how we transact the era of genetic medicines, a revolution in medicine transforming human health and longevity. Since launching Biotech Frontiers and then Tech Frontiers, we've written extensively about all three tsunamis. My guess is that many readers' lives have already been touched in some way by them. You've probably dabbled with large language artificial intelligence models like Anthropic's Claude or OpenAI's ChatGPT, and maybe even re-engineered your everyday work around them. Bitcoin, Ether, and stablecoins are probably already parts of your portfolio. And if you've been vaccinated against COVID, you've taken an mRNA-based vaccine. But there's another tsunami barreling toward us, less visible to many because it's more esoteric. This tsunami promises to change the world every bit as profoundly as the others, perhaps even more so. The fourth tsunami is a transformation in how we fight wars. And this tsunami, like the others, is fundamentally grounded in technology. I've touched on this theme in a few of Porter's daily journals over the past months, for instance, in a piece about drone warfare last August, and a more recent pair of journals about the threat posed by the Iran war to the petrodollar order. But the theme merits much deeper discussion, and in the months to come, we'll return to it in Tech Frontiers. We are in the early innings of a sea change in how nations wage wars and arm their militaries to defend themselves. Investors who understand the nature of these changes, and which companies will benefit from them, stand to make a fortune. This month's recommendation, Gabler Group AG, will be among the winners. Gabler benefits from three key tailwinds: a step change growth in Europe's defense spending, the growing importance of maritime warfighting, the mission-critical function that Gabler's specific products play in tomorrow's warfighting world. Let's examine these tailwinds one by one. European defense spending, poised to take off for most of the post-Cold War era. European defense spending was an afterthought. The United States provided the security umbrella. European governments harvested the peace dividend and redirected capital towards social spending, green energy initiatives, and other domestic priorities. In retrospect, Europe's approach was less a strategy than a bet: that Russia would remain containable, that U.S. security guarantee would remain unquestioned, that global trade routes would remain open, and that the seas would remain safe. That bet has failed spectacularly, and Europe has just been handed the bill. Russia's invasion of Ukraine forced Europe to confront a reality it had spent decades avoiding: hard power still matters. In 2022, reacting to European sanctions after the invasion of Ukraine, Russia cut pipeline gas to the European Union by 80%, precipitating an energy crisis in Europe that saw wholesale gas prices jump 180%. This 2022 crisis caused Europe to pivot drastically to the LNG market to meet its energy needs, setting the stage for a follow-on crisis today now that the Hormuz closure has cut off Europe's access to the closest source of LNG. And this crisis has become a further reminder to Europe that power comes from the barrel of a loaded gun. Europe needs the strait to reopen more than the US does, but finds itself dependent on America's military to get the job done. While Russia has falsified one of Europe's core assumptions, the United States has falsified another. The Trump administration has made it crystal clear to European leaders that the US will no longer foot the bill for NATO's security umbrella absent a dramatic change in Europe's financial contribution. Indeed, at the June 2025 NATO summit in The Hague, the Trump administration bluntly demanded that European member states commit to increase their defense spending to 5% of GDP by 2035, more than double the prior target of 2%. So far, 29 of 31 NATO members have agreed. This pledge means Europe is now embarking on the largest defense buildup since the dawn of the Cold War, and will grow its annual military spend to between 850 billion euros and 1 trillion euros per year, more than 2.5x the prior run rate. 2. Maritime warfighting. A strategic priority. Gabler's second big-picture tailwind is the specific, strategic importance that maritime warfighting capabilities will play in Europe's defense buildup. The point here is that Europe's rearmament will not extend only to drones, air defense systems, tanks, and artillery. These categories matter, of course, as the Ukraine conflict has shown. But the Hormuz crisis is reminding the world, and Europe in particular, that control of key maritime trade routes and their choke points is economically existential. The world's oil, LNG, fertilizers, industrial gases, food inputs, and manufactured goods still move principally by sea. The cables that enable the internet run beneath the sea. The offshore wind farms, pipelines, ports, and energy terminals that increasingly power Europe sit in or beside the sea. When key sea lanes are open, European economies function. When they are shut, European economies asphyxiate. For Europe's defense planners and procurement strategists, the implication is clear. Maritime investment can no longer be treated as a prestige category reserved for blue water navies. It must become a core element of national resilience. Europe will need more ships, yes, but the more interesting spending will occur in the hidden layer beneath and around those ships. Submarines, anti-submarine warfare mine countermeasures, seabed surveillance, unmanned surface and underwater vessels, secure subsea communications, the systems required to monitor and defend critical infrastructure. These are the areas where the nature of maritime power is changing fastest. This shift matters enormously for Gabler, because the company is not merely exposed to maritime defense in some broad, generic way. It sits precisely in the parts of the maritime stack that become more valuable as the sea becomes more contested, more instrumented, and more autonomous. 3. Gabler's products, mission critical, which brings us to the third and final big picture tailwind for Gabler. Its products are mission critical to today's navies as well as tomorrow's. A submarine that cannot raise its masts cannot see, communicate, snorkel, collect intelligence, or safely interface with the world above the surface. It may still be underwater, but it's effectively blind, deaf, and mute. In a wartime setting, that's not an inconvenience. It's the difference between completing the mission and becoming the target of a rescue mission oneself. Just as importantly, Gabler's relevance now extends beyond traditional manned submarines into the emerging world of autonomous maritime weapons, drones for the ocean. This frontier is among the most important in all of defense technology. In the air, drones have already transformed war. At sea, the same transformation is coming, but the engineering challenges are harder. Salt water, pressure, darkness, limited communications, battery constraints, and the need to operate silently. Gabler is already moving aggressively into this domain with torpedo tube-launched unmanned surface vehicles, its Ranger and Raider systems, designed to launch from a submarine, surface, unfold, and then operate autonomously for surveillance or strike missions. All in all, the maritime defense technology stack that Gabler has put together positions it perfectly to become an indispensable supplier as Europe prepares for tomorrow's manned and unmanned maritime battlefields. 2. The business we've covered, why Gabler Group stands to benefit from a powerful convergence of big-picture macro-level conditions. Now let's zoom in on its business in a little more detail. Gabler is best understood as a subsea technology platform built around a storied core, with several deliberately chosen complementary additions. The core business is submarine systems, which accounted for approximately 69% of Gabler's 2025 pro forma net sales. This is the original Gabler, the company founded in Lübeck in 1962 to industrialize specialized equipment for submarines and maritime applications. Its most important products are hoistable mast systems. As we've touched on, a submarine below the surface cannot use ordinary sensors or communications equipment the way a ship can. To see, communicate, run radar, take in air for its engines, or send electronic signals, it must raise specialized equipment above the surface while keeping the rest of the boat hidden. That's what Gabler's mast systems do. Mast systems are exceptionally intricate pieces of hardware technology. They must operate quietly, reliably, and precisely for decades in salt water, under high pressure, and during combat conditions. Gabler's submarine systems business also designs and manufactures a constellation of other critical subcomponents, including rudder drives, control systems, radomes, charging connections, exhaust valves, communication buoys, buoyant wire antennas, and life cycle support. The last piece is crucial. Once a Navy installs Gabler equipment, it needs spare parts, refits, repairs, upgrades, training, specialist tooling, and technical support for the submarine's entire service life, often 30 to 40 years. For Gabler, each new platform win therefore becomes not just an equipment sale, but a multi-decade relationship. Gabler's second business is subsea communications and data, built primarily through the company's 2021 acquisition of Develogic and supplemented by its minority stake in maritime data leader North.io. This segment accounted for roughly 11% of 2025 pro forma net sales, but it carries outsized strategic importance because its focus, underwater intelligence, is one of the most rapidly growing domains in maritime defense. In plain English, Develogic helps submarines, underwater vehicles, ocean observatories, offshore energy assets, and critical infrastructure talk beneath the sea. Accomplishing this task reliably and securely is far harder than it may seem, because ordinary radio signals don't travel through seawater the way they travel through air. Underwater communication requires specialized acoustic, inductive, optical, and other technologies, each with trade-offs in range, bandwidth, stealth, and reliability. The third leg of Gabler's stool is its subsea power business, built through the company's 2025 acquisition of Subsea Tech. This segment accounted for roughly 20% of pro forma net sales. Subsea Tech builds batteries and power systems for underwater use. The description understates the difficulty of the task. An ordinary battery failure is annoying. A subsea battery failure is often financially and operationally catastrophic. As underwater systems become more autonomous, sensor-heavy, mobile, and persistent, reliable subsea power becomes a choke point technology. Together, Gobbler's three businesses form an integrated maritime defense stack. Submarine Systems provides the physical interface. Subsea Communications and Data provides connectivity and intelligence. Subsea Power provides energy. The stack, in turn, transforms Gobbler from a niche submarine systems supplier into a defense mini prime for the underwater operations domain. Gobbler's financial profile matches its strategic appeal. In 2025, the company generated €61.7 million, $72 million, of pro forma net sales, with defense and defense-related applications comprising over three-quarters of the total. Adjusted EBIT, earnings before interest and taxes, was roughly €16.5 million, $20 million, giving Gobbler a healthy 27% operating margin, while the company's order backlog stands at €359 million, $420 million, an impressive 6% annual revenue. These figures tell us Gobbler is not a concept company hoping to break into its target markets. It's profitable, mission-critical, backlog-supported, and selling into markets with potent financial and strategic growth ahead. 3. The competitive landscape. Peter Thiel is among the most successful tech investors of all time. A co-founder of PayPal, PYPL, and Palantir Technologies, PLTR, and an early investor in Facebook, Bitcoin, Ether, as well as a host of other tech supernovas. In his deservedly acclaimed book on tech entrepreneurship, Zero to One, compiled from a series of lectures he delivered at Stanford, Thiel famously argues that competition is for losers. He unapologetically argues that the best businesses operate as monopolies or quasi-monopolies, insulating themselves from the value-destroying effects of competitive rivalry. Thiel would love Gobbler's competitive positioning. At first glance, it might seem that Gobbler operates in an oligopoly, one of a small handful of competitors fighting for the same customers in its markets. Airlines, credit card networks, cell phone service providers, and large defense primes are all examples of such oligopolies. But Gobbler's competitive positioning is different. While the global market for submarine mast systems has three suppliers, in practice each of these suppliers has each carved out a distinct monopoly in their geography. The U.S. market, serving the U.S. Navy, is dominated by the Italian firm Calzoni, now a subsidiary of emerging U.S. defense prime L.E. Harris Technologies, LHX, a $60 billion market cap behemoth. The U.K. market is dominated by MacTaggart Scott, a storied, 125-year-old Scottish engineering firm that is privately held. Gobbler, in turn, dominates the continental Europe market, as well as the international market that has adopted Germany's submarine design tradition. That international market includes Israel, Singapore, and Korea. Tantalizingly, it may grow in the coming years to include emerging middle powers such as Canada and India. In the geographies where it dominates, Gobbler's monopoly is secured by several moats. Submarine architecture. Submarines are not built of interchangeable, plug-and-play Lego blocks. They're tightly woven machines in which critical components come together at the design level. Once a Navy has chosen one of three specific design traditions, the American, British, or German, it's effectively locked into the components embedded in that design. In practice, this means that Gobbler systems and service are permanently embedded in every Navy that selects the German submarine design. Installed base. The company's systems have already been installed on over 185 submarines across 25 navies. The installed base matters because no navy casually replaces mission-critical systems in the middle of its submarine fleet's 30 to 40-year life. Furthermore, once a navy has committed to a specific submarine design tradition, switching to a different one is virtually impossible, with financial, operational, technical, and institutional switching costs. Certification, qualification, and trust. Gobbler's third moat consists of the hurdles any new entrant must navigate to qualify as a supplier to a sovereign navy. Crucial naval hardware must pass years of testing, security review, integration work, naval acceptance, and customer-specific qualification. A new entrant cannot move fast and disrupt this market. In defense, trust isn't branding, it's accumulated evidence. Gobbler has 60-plus years of such earned trust working with its naval customers. The technology stack competitors do exist in discrete Gobbler verticals, for instance, Calzoni in mast systems, or iGear Insights in maritime data. But by deliberately working toward an integrated tech stack for maritime warfighting, Gobbler makes it increasingly valuable and relevant to naval customers, and makes it increasingly difficult for rivals to dislodge. The quintessential monopoly is a toll road on a route that everyone must travel. For the navies with whom it works, Gobbler is becoming a toll road beneath the surface of the ocean. 4. Valuation considerations. If you're right, you've got to get paid. My old boss Julian Robertson at Tiger Management regularly reminded us. At Tech Frontiers, we're not looking for opportunities that will appreciate by 30% or even 50%. We're hunting for multi-baggers, the stocks that can deliver multiplicative gains. In this section, we sanity check our underwriting to ensure we have a reasonable path to a win at that scale. At its current €230 million, $270 million market capitalization, at €37 per share, Gobbler Group trades at an extremely modest 3.7x its pro forma 2025 revenue of €61.7 million. Indeed, given Gobbler's 60-year track record in submarine systems, large installed base among 25 sovereign navies, 6x revenue order backlog, and robust operating profit margins, the stock is screamingly cheap. The European defense peer group trades at 6x to 12x revenue, meaning Gobbler today is valued at almost a 50% discount to the low end of the comparables. Rheinmetall, Rambi, the giant European defense bellwether, trades above 6x revenue even after its recent slump. It has often traded above 10x over the past years. Our path to multiplicative gain with Gobbler therefore depends on two very reasonable legs: organic growth and multiple expansion toward the average range of its peer group. Even before Europe's massive defense buildup kicks in, Gobbler is set to grow its revenues at 15% to 20% per year. If the company grows revenue from last year's €61.7 million to a range of €80 million to €90 million over the coming 3 years, which it can do simply by executing on its order backlog, with no heroics required, and the stock re-rates toward the midpoint of the European defense prime multiple range, we're likely looking at 200% to 300% gains. A five-bagger over 5 years is eminently achievable here if Gobbler executes well and benefits from a few key wins. Leading defense players are quintessential forever stocks that one can own for a lifetime and pass on to one's kids. We don't often get an opportunity to buy them at steep discounts to their intrinsic value. Gobbler presents us with exactly that kind of opportunity. 5. Variant perception in investing. Being right about a stock isn't enough. We also need to hold a point of view that differs from consensus, otherwise our right view is already priced in. We can reach this non-consensus insight in one of two ways: by having a different view than the market does about a controversy that's material to a stock, or by seeing something before the market does. Either way, we can describe this requirement as our variant perception, and it's crucial to define it clearly before we invest. In Gobbler's case, our variant perception is simple. As a small cap, recently IPO'd company that trades on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange's scale segment, more on that below, Gobbler is still virtually invisible to large institutional investors, on both the sell side and the buy side. In short, because this company went public less than 2 months ago, and because it's still small, we're seeing it before its natural institutional investor base has. That will change over time, as it does for small-cap biotech companies that gain institutional traction as they grow. And when it does, Gobbler will naturally re-rate upwards. Let me explain. Like several other stock exchanges in Europe, Germany's Frankfurt Stock Exchange has a segment dedicated to enabling small and medium-sized growth companies to access the capital markets, called the Scale segment. In Germany, the Scale segment is like a NASDAQ for smaller cap stocks. But because German investors tend to be more conservative than their US counterparts, stocks that trade on scale often don't attract immediate institutional coverage. This means that German investment banks may not be writing about them, and they may escape notice from Germany's large institutional investors. All of that is true of Gobbler today. The company's stock just picked up coverage from its first two European banks, still has no index inclusion, and still hasn't found its way to large institutional shareholders who hadn't owned the company in its pre-IPO, private chapter. So Gobbler is undergoing its discovery phase. At first, the only investors who know the name are IPO participants, local small-cap specialists, and a handful of enthusiasts, such as us. Then the company reports, management meets investors, coverage begins, then widens, liquidity improves, the story takes shape, the shareholder base changes as larger institutions join. Eventually, what was invisible becomes obvious. 6. The people matter always. Put an exceptional business into the hands of the wrong people, and the wrong results ensue. Just ask the former shareholders of Enron. In some technology investments, we want visionary founders, think Steve Jobs. In others, we want brilliant capital allocators, think Henry Singleton of Teledyne. In biotech, we often want a combination of world-class scientists, credible clinical operators, and leadership that knows how to navigate regulators as well as big pharma. In defense, especially maritime defense, we want something different. Deep industry roots, quiet competence, technical credibility, customer trust, and the patience to operate on multi-decade timelines. Gobbler's people fit this bill to the T. CEO David Sherm, above right, is not a celebrity founder or high-profile storyteller. Instead, after earning a degree in industrial engineering and an MBA, he has spent the entirety of his two-decade-plus career in defense, including over a decade of it at Gobbler. Chief Sales Officer Ole Johansson brings deep maritime experience and helped build Gobbler subsidiary Devalogic's commercial presence before taking on a similar role at the parent company. At this stage in its history, Gobbler's growth opportunity depends in part on cross-selling its capabilities across navies, shipyards, defense companies, offshore energy customers, research institutions, and industrial partners. That task requires someone who understands both the technical and commercial dimensions of the underwater domain. Johansson does. The leadership of Gobbler's constituent operating companies likewise inspires confidence. SubseaTech founder Stefan Marx remains CEO of that business. His background runs deep in maritime technology, including earlier experience in the German Navy and decades in ocean engineering and subsea systems. Jan Wendt and Fritjof Henman, the founders of North.io, continue to run that business, bringing distinctive expertise in maritime big data. Perhaps the most telling thing about Gobbler's people is what they are not. This is not a group of former investment bankers and management consultants who discovered defense after defense stocks began rising. It's not a promotional management team new to an industry aiming to attach itself to a trendy theme. Instead, it's a group of experienced operators who have spent their entire careers in the maritime domains in which Gobbler excels. In maritime defense, credibility compounds. Gobbler's people have been compounding for a long time. 7. The risk, reward. As regular Tech Frontiers readers know, the last step in our underwriting process for investment opportunities is always an assessment of the overall risk/reward. This exercise seems equally important for opportunities outside life sciences too. Three tools help us accomplish this: a pre-mortem, a parade, and an expected value tree. In our pre-mortem, we imagine that our investment has not gone as planned and reverse engineer why. Here is our pre-mortem for Gobbler Group. The current crisis in the Strait of Hormuz tips Europe, and Germany in particular, into a supply shock-driven recession. Amid this environment, European governments put their planned defense buildup on hold. Risk appetite among European institutional investors retrenches, and there's little appetite to underwrite smaller cap stocks, which generally tend to suffer in recessions. The entire European equities universe experiences multiple contractions, driving all European stocks downward. While Gobbler's underlying business remains stable due to its long-term supply contracts and customer lock-in, the stock languishes or even declines up to 30% in a bear market. Our parade is the mirror opposite of our pre-mortem. It's our invitation to imagine that this investment has gone well. Our Gobbler parade goes like this. European defense spending moves structurally higher, with maritime defense and underwater warfare platforms receiving a growing share of the pie. Germany, Norway, Canada, India, South Korea, and other NATO-friendly countries move forward with submarine programs as well as unmanned subsea platforms, choosing the German design tradition of which Gobbler is a core part. Gobbler's content per hull increases, and the complementary pieces it has assembled, underwater comms, data, intelligence, and power, are increasingly included in its wins. All this drives higher than expected growth and a higher profile among institutional investors. 3 to 5 years from now, Gobbler revenue exceeds 100 million euros, up more than 60%. Its multiple of sales has re-rated to the higher end of the peer group range, and we are enjoying a multiplicative gain on a stock we can hold forever. Our expected value, EV, tree distills everything that's come before into simple arithmetic. We begin by encapsulating our entire investment thesis into a downside scenario, a base case scenario, and an upside scenario. We assign a probability and a stock price to each, and we derive our EV for the stock based on the sum of these three probability-weighted scenarios and their respective contributions. Here is our expected value tree for Gobbler. Action to take, buy Gobbler Group AG, XK4GR, on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange up to 40 euros per share. Recognizing today's volatile market environment, we will stagger our entry into Gobbler Group. Accordingly, size the investment at one half the ordinary Tech Frontiers investment for now, and await further guidance on when to buy the other half. Review of recommendations. It's been an eventful month for a few of our names, and a quiet month for others. Sagimet Biosciences, NASDAQ, SGMT, which has for a long time been my highest conviction Tech Frontiers recommendation, announced an oversubscribed capital raise at $6 per share for $175 million, taken up by marquee biotech institutional investors. In parallel, management announced a strategy pivot. Sagimet will now front-load a Phase 3 trial and a race to approval in acne, while putting MASH on the back burner. The capital raise funds the Phase 3 trial in acne and ensures that Sagimet has balance sheet runway through at least 2028. On Monday, April 27, Sagimet shares soared above $8 on the news. I support management's pivot, as acne, like MASH, is a potential $1 billion-plus indication. By getting Sagimet funded through a successful Phase 3, management maximizes its leverage to negotiate an attractive deal on the MASH indication or for the entire company. I remain convinced we'll see Sagimet shares trade above $30 within 3 years, which would be 4x from here. For now, Sagimet is a strong hold. I will re-recommend shares for newer subscribers if they fall below $6. Both Alphabet, NASDAQ, Google, and Microsoft, NASDAQ, MSFT shares have risen sharply over the past months, but I continue to believe their longer-term trajectories will diverge, as we are long on Alphabet and have shorted Microsoft, as Microsoft's massive bet on OpenAI turns sour while the vertical integration Alphabet has deliberately built in the AI tech stack begins to show results. Earlier this week, jurors were seated in the Watershed Musk v. Altman trial in Oakland, California's Federal District Court, a trial that will determine whether OpenAI committed fraud in its shift from non-profit to for-profit. We'll update subscribers as this trial progresses. As I recently wrote about in Porter's Daily Journal, the trial has wide implications for the broader universe of AI stocks. We continue to recommend our pair trade in Alphabet and Microsoft, with Alphabet a buy up to $360, and Microsoft a short above $390. Fortress Biotech, NASDAQ, FBO, has delivered nothing but positive news over the past months, including the receipt of proceeds from the sale of its priority review voucher, a paydown and favorable restructuring of its debt facility with Oaktree Capital Management, and, most recently, solid quarterly financial results. We believe the shares have languished due to the overhang of a suspended dividend in Fortress's preferred stock, which we anticipate management will tend to in the coming months. The longer-term optionality embedded in Fortress Hub and Spoke business model is significant. As shares have fallen, we are reducing our $3.20 buy-up to price. We recommend buying Fortress shares up to $2.50. That's all for this month, friends. I hope you and your families keep safe and well, and look forward to writing you next month, and perhaps sooner in the Daily Journal. Best regards, Erez Porter & Company. Stevenson, Maryland. For important disclosures and disclaimers, please visit our legal disclosures page. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hope you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our top 3 best buys, where we highlight 3 current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find the top 3 best buys under the Best Buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.